12. We're going to pick up here where we left off last week. We stopped at verse 20. It says, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. As a jewel of gold in the swine's snout." What did I say? I said Proverbs 11, right? Wow. Well, in the MRV version, that's the Mike Reagan version, we're actually in chapter 11. My apologies again. I heard papers turning and you guys talking, and I was like, what's going on now? My goodness, like a bunch of unruly children. That's why I don't give you adults the candy till after, amen? How mischievous you are. All right, verse 11. I figured I did something again. As a jewel of gold, this is actually a pretty funny verse if you look at it. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, we're in verse 22. So is a fair woman, which is without discretion. My dad quoted that one at my sister so much that they began foaming at the mouth and having convulsions when they heard it. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the fact that they're holy and they're perfect. And I believe that with all my heart, Lord, and I believe these folks here believe it as well. We thank you for preserving them to us, inspired and perfect. And I believe that. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd help it to sink down into our hearts. I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. I pray that you'd make me a blessing to this church and to these people tonight. I pray that we'd leave here with a greater understanding of some of these things and a true, genuine gut check by the Holy Spirit of God to see some things in our life that might be unprofitable and unwise, that we may be more like Jesus Christ, who is all the wisdom of God. Help us to be transformed a little more into your image tonight and to please you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We wrapped up last week in verse number 20. It says, "They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord." And we discussed how that froward heart is somebody who's habitually disposed to disobedience, somebody who is constantly argumentative, constantly opposed, always sees what's wrong with everybody else, always constantly in a rebellious spirit. That's a froward heart. You run into somebody like that, get away from them. People like that at work will drag you down. Everybody in this room is associated with somebody that way. Somebody who is that way. Everybody. There's people like that at work. They're all over. You'll have neighbors that are that way. Just constantly agitated, constantly opposed, constantly critical. It's a froward heart that produces that kind of a spirit. But it says, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. An upright person is somebody God rejoices in. And to be upright is simply explained in walking up straight and walking right. It's just the opposite of a froward heart. Somebody who constantly tries to do right. We talked about being faithful in your walk with Christ, being faithful in your life. Verse number 21 is a great verse, especially for the day and age that we live in. It says, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished." Birds of a feather flock together. My dad always said that. He said that so much, it's almost nauseating to hear it. Birds of a feather flock together. He said, be careful about who you hang around with. You're guilty by association. It's showing you there, though hand joined in hand. It's a crazy thing that when people have a common denominator that they hate, they'll join together. Two people who would never normally get along, if they have a common enemy, all of a sudden those two people will become buddies. You know what you've got in this world? You've got a bunch of people, you've got politicians, you've got leaders who truly hate one another, who are not really go in the same direction, who would have nothing in common if it were not for the fact that they hate God. Think about the Antichrist's kingdom, and we've studied that before. Think about how that kingdom falls. You read Daniel and you see how all these wicked kingdoms that are coming up turn on one another and they attack one another. And that kingdom implodes from the inside because of the strife and the lack of unity that they have among them. Jesus Christ himself said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He was said that in answer to the Pharisees who said, you're casting out devils by the prince of devils. Jesus said, it wouldn't work that way because that kingdom wouldn't stand. You realize the devil's kingdom does not stand in the end? You know why it does not stand in the end? Because it is a divided kingdom. So when you watch the lost people of the world, when you look around at the wicked, when you watch the political system, the political beast as it unfolds, understand one thing. I'm not trying to tell you not to vote, not to go vote for the lesser of two evils. You know, do whatever you think you need to do. But some preachers preach the gospel of presidential elections. They are obsessed with getting in that conservative guy and getting in that guy who's going to get rid of gay rights and getting in that guy who's going to give us liberty and getting in that guy who's going to beef up the military. And I think it would thrill me if we got a very conservative president. It would thrill me if we got a guy in who would just, go all Ronald Reagan on the military. I would love to see nothing more. I would love a negotiator who actually lives up to what Donald Trump says he would do. Wouldn't that be great? But can I tell you something? All the kingdoms of this world are going to fall until Jesus Christ sits on that throne. So though hand join in hand, what you and I are going to see transpire is we are going to see the wicked holding hands. How about the Roman Catholic Pope? And Islam.
Come on.
Now, what kind of insanity is that? Have you studied history at all? Have you studied religious history at all? Don't you know that holy wars and jihads are nothing new? Do you know Islam has been declaring war and shedding blood on Christianity for centuries? Islam hates Christianity. Islam hates the Pope. Now, how in the world are they starting to get to where they hold hands? I'll tell you why. They got a common denominator.
Yep, right.
Let's show you who that common denominator is. Psalm chapter 2. So what should I do about this preacher as a Christian as I'm watching it? I'll tell you what you should do. You should laugh.
Yeah, right.
You want to be like Jesus? Just sit back and watch the show. It's humorous. Here's a verse that most of your modern-day milquetoast Christians and milquetoast preachers don't even know is in the Bible. I have no idea why, but I memorized this chapter a few years ago. I was sitting up there thinking about, why did I memorize this chapter? But literally, this chapter makes me laugh from time to time when it'll pop into my head. I love seeing the full balance of who God is. Watch verse 2. I said Psalms chapter 2, right? Is that what I said? Okay, just making sure we're in the same chapter. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together, hand join in hand. What are they doing? Against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You know what they don't like? What they feel is the constraint of God.
Yeah.
Thou shalt not.
Yeah.
That's the common denominator. Well, who is God to say? Who is a Bible to say? Who is some preacher to say? Who are you to judge me? They don't like God saying thou shalt not. They don't like the bony finger of a preacher in their face saying God said that ain't right. That's wrong. That's sin. That's wicked. They don't want to hear it. So it'll bring men who would normally be enemies, it'll bring them together in a conspiracy. I do believe, and I've told you over and over again, I'm not a black helicopters guy. I do believe in a massive global conspiracy. It's called Satan conspiring against God. And what he does is he uses men as pawns. I believe with all my heart they can be devil-possessed and not even know it. Not even realize it. You think Peter realized it when the devil entered him and said, "No, Lord, you're not going to suffer." And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter didn't realize the devil was using him like that. He didn't see he was possessed. Barack Obama's the Antichrist. First of all, he doesn't match. Study the Bible. God even tells you what race he is, and he's a half-breed. He's not an African. Or a white guy, whatever you want. You know, I have a white president. You might have an African president, whatever. You know, that's silly stuff. I really think it'd be so funny, just to be politically incorrect, get a bumper sticker that says, "My president's white." Yeah. Amen. What's the problem? If somebody else can say he's black, he's half and half, ain't he? So what's the offense? I don't know how I got on that. Let us break. I don't think Barack Obama's the Antichrist. But I do believe the devil can and will enter and use men as he sees fit and move along. He said to Jesus Christ, "See all the kingdoms of the world? These are mine, and I give them to whomsoever I will." Ain't that scary? Now that to me as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian is a little frightening in the light of the fact that born-again Christians become obsessed with politics. I personally feel like it would be wrong for me to lower the importance and the integrity of this pulpit to become a political podium. I could care less if they say it's right or wrong. It's not because I'm afraid of them taking away my tax-exempt status. Could care less about that. Amen. I could care less about that. It's neither here nor there to me. I just feel like that's a pretty lowly thing to be using this pulpit for when this thing's supposed to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That's what this pulpit's to be used for. You get on your little political bandwagon, but I'm telling you something. When they get in there and the money starts flowing and the influence starts going and the devil moves through there, if he said to Jesus, "I'll give it to you because I give it to whoever I want." Would anybody here vote for Jesus? The devil said, "It's mine right now, and I give it to whoever I want." Isn't that weird? So maybe it's more scary. Just maybe it's more scary when the guy comes in pretending all of a sudden like he's getting religion. "Oh, I've always been religious. I'm proud of my religion." Isn't that a little frightening? The devil gives it to who he wants. Now, I'm not trying to tell you not to vote. I'm really not. I'm really not. If we let all the liberals do their thing, I mean, it's a quandary for me. But I'm just telling you the truth. It doesn't really matter what we do. It ends in apostasy. You understand? I heard one of our church members, and I won't name him unless I get mischievous here in the next 2 seconds. But he said he went to vote, and he didn't like either of the candidates, so he wrote Jesus on the ballot and dropped it in the box. Man, I like that idea. I think maybe I should endorse a candidate. We should all go vote for Jesus. Amen. They think we're nuts. Amen. That'd be a blessing. As crazy Bible believers over here again. We'll put Jesus BBC. Jesus BBC. We got a stamp. You can just stamp it. Jesus BBC and walk out. That'd be great. What's verse 4? Here's how the Lord handles it. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." Aren't you glad you got a Savior who has a sense of humor? Isn't that a blessing? He sits on his throne and laughs. Look at those goofballs. They're saying they're not going to take my restrictions. They're saying they don't want to handle my word. They want to break the bands and the restrictions of my laws and my rules. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll let them have their way, and we'll give them a crisis in the penitentiaries. You want God's bands, or you want the bands that come with the devil's lifestyle? We got too many people in the penitentiaries. They're overloaded. Folks, God is laughing with a sense of humor at the way they allow us to carry Bibles in the jails, but tell us we're not allowed to have them in the schools. That has got to be funny to God. He's like, you're so stupid you cannot see what is right in front of you. If the Bible has no place in the schools, then it ought not have any place in the prisons. Separation of church and state. You hypocrite, why are you letting me come in here as a preacher? Walking in just like this. And they're all saying, hello, gentlemen, thank you, gentlemen, hope it goes well for you, gentlemen. Thank you for coming, gentlemen. Walk into the public school the same way. Let's all carry Bibles in there and say, hey, can we just go down in the gym and kind of set up? There's some kids playing in there. Do you mind moving them out? We're going to just walk around the hallways and yell, hey, Bible Believers Church Bible Study! Bible Believers Church Bible Study! Good. They're coming to lock you up, man.
Yeah.
Look at those crazies. You got to pat them down. They probably have guns. They're crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
But they let us do that in the jail. Walk up and say, hey, somebody's in the classroom. So as a social worker in the classroom, can we have the gym? Big old got dudes in there with nothing else to do but chin-ups. All day long, gorillas, man. Like, guys, we're going to come in here and set up for a Bible study. Guard comes in there. Hey, guys, got to get out. Bible study coming in here. They're mad. We'll just go in there and preach. God has got to laugh at that stuff. God's got to see it and just laugh. He's got to sit in the heavens and laugh when there's a little bit of a turnaround in the economy and everybody all of a sudden gets religion.
Yeah.
It's just funny to him. We start getting paranoid about our politics, about losing our wealth, and all of a sudden we care about God. Yeah. The verse in verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. They are so messed up, they can't figure out where they're going, how they're going. I wouldn't want their lifestyle. You know the pressure they're under? You watch a president get in there, and in 4 years or 8 years, he goes from a young guy, jet black hair, full of energy, says these wrinkles hanging off his face, and he's all gray, and he's like, he's trying to hold it together and look like, you ever watch him and just look at the pressure they're under? Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. You know what I like about him? There's no lobbyists controlling him. There's no, when I'm elected to office, I'm going to round up the illegals and I'm going to get them out of the country. It just didn't work out that way because the Democrats wouldn't let me. We've got to stop all this fighting up here. We can't be, the American people is sick of this. You guys are all crazy and God is laughing at your derision. When Jesus gets on the throne, he ain't going to worry about it. He ain't going to come into Jesus and say, well, we did give $500 million to your campaign. Lord, you realize I tithed every year for 20 whole years. He'll be like, huh? What are you talking about, man? I made the whole thing. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. It's all mine. You can't negotiate with God. He's going to be there and just rule that thing just like he ought to rule it. But before he does, he's going to vex them and deal with them and judge them in his wrath. Verse 7, I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore. Now. So he just prophesied of what he's going to do. And he says, be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Interesting how he ends that chapter because it fits the verse we're in Proverbs 11. It says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be. See the future tense? Christians, let's just face it. Sometimes we do get a little discouraged when we feel like things in this world go kind of rough for us, and we watch the prosperity of people who are not serving God. Can we just be really, really honest for a minute? And I won't hold it against you if you go, yeah, I've had that thought too, and I see your head shake yes, okay? I won't hold it against you. Have you ever stopped and thought, man, if I just didn't give so much to church, I could have one of those too.
Good.
Look at me as your pastor. I'm not as spiritual as some of you because you're shaking your head no. I have. Don't tell anybody.
Good.
We're going to edit the message on sermon audio. I have looked at my budget and said, if that portion went to this thing, I could have one of those Harley Davidsons. I could have one of those whatever it is. Ain't that wicked? The fact of the matter is that sometimes we watch the way other people live and we say, why does God seem to bless them? And I'm trying to do right and nothing seems to be going right for me. Listen, don't give up because the end has not been, it has been written here, but the end has not been shown to you yet. He says, though hand join in hand, though they all gather together, though they all come up against you, though they all get their counsels together, the wicked shall not be unpunished. God says, I will deal with them. God's not a liar. He's going to deal with them. Look at verse 21, the second half. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You care about your family?
Amen.
I do. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. God said, he didn't say, are going to need no deliverance. You understand that? Just for God to say they're going to be delivered means they're in a mess. Right? Deliverance is a positive thing, is it not?
Yeah.
But hold on a minute, is it really? Because I wouldn't need deliverance if I wasn't in a mess. So obviously, you live in a wicked world run by wicked people. They're against God. Their policies are against God. It's not going to get better. According to that book, it's going to get worse. So let's just know ahead of time that if we'll do right, he's going to deliver us. Isn't that great? I've always said it would be great to be like 70 or 80 if the Lord hasn't come back yet, and have a Muslim pop up in the middle of the service, pull out an AK-47, I don't know where he'd be hiding something that large, but pull it out and just start blowing me away right there in the middle of preaching Jesus from the pulpit. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? What would be cooler? When I'm 80-ish, you know, 80-ish, that'd be all right. Be a cool way to go out. What would be even cooler than that is for the rapture to hit right as he got ready to shoot me and just to miss me and we all go. And he's saying like, bah! Wow, Allah really blessed this. This is a supernatural AK, you know? God's going to deliver us. He's going to get us out of the mess. You understand that?
Amen.
So don't get discouraged. Stay strong. Verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, God has got a sense of humor. That's funny. That's funny. You ever notice a swine's snout? We're up there, Oscoda, we went to the fair. They had a county fair. And girls wanted to go see all the animals, so we went, we saw all the horses, and man, they were pretty sweet. There were some sweet horses there. Tennessee Walkers, Arabians, they had some nice horses. Quarter horse, I mean, there's a bunch of them. And we go through, and we're looking at, we saw the goats, you know. And then we went and saw the pigs. And we didn't, for whatever reason, we were not with the pigs nearly as long. They were ready to get to the bunny rabbits. Because they're walking around, they're going, oh, nasty. Oh, you know, there's Ava. She's always, you know, 110% life everywhere we go. Oh, nasty. That's disgusting. I said, you eat those. What? No way. I said, yes, you do. There's a girl over there washing a pig with a hose. She's scrubbing him down with a hose. She said, Dad, they wash pigs. I said, I have no idea why, because he's just going to run right back in there and roll in the mud again. You ever notice the nose on those things? Rob's grandpa was a farmer. How many pigs do they have out there? Hogs. Hundreds, right? Or was that hundreds of cows? Hundreds of cows. They had lots of hogs, right? Fair enough. A few dozen. You don't know. He's more honest than anybody in the world, man. I mean, good night. It's ridiculous. I remember, this is the truth. I'm being honest. I remember walking up there and looking over the edge when I was a little kid, looking over the edge of the hog pen, and one of them had died or something, and they were all eating it.
Yeah.
I'm talking like ripping the guts out. There's a piece of, hey, by the way, you guys, with that thought in mind, Dan and Ashley are engaged.
Hey.
Ain't that a blessing? Hey. I think a hand is appropriate. I asked him, how'd you like that, brother? Me and Grace were trying to help him figure out how to propose to you, and since he's a firefighter and an EMS, a firefighter and a paramedic. We said, you know the cops. Set it up, get in the car with one of the cops, have him pull her over. Have him get her out of the car and put him in the back of the car, and you can be back there in the back seat and then propose to her in the back seat of a cop car. Is that a worst engagement idea you've ever heard of? That was what me and my wife came up with. Ain't that a blessing that he ignored us? Amen. Don't always take your pastor's advice. Amen. I'm really supposed to stick to the book. I'm not a financial advisor. Definitely not a marriage counselor. The guys have all said that. Don't ask pastor for marriage counseling. Anyway, congratulations, you guys. We're really happy for you. And we'll keep you posted on when the date is. Hopefully sometime. I think sometime soon, but we'll see. All right, so back to the pigs. I know you love me if you come back after this, brother. There's no doubt about it. They literally were ripping that other pig's guts out. I remember seeing a piece of skin about that wide and about that long, and one of those pigs was pulling on that thing, and the whole carcass was bouncing. They just eat it, man. Now, something like that, you take it and you put a gold ring in its nose. An expensive gold ring. What do you think that does for that pig? It doesn't fit. You understand? God said, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. This world focuses on beauty, 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 beauty. So much so that girls get little off. And honestly, I'm not trying to be mean, but the head ain't working right. Because she looks in the mirror and she thinks she's supposed to see something photoshopped. Because all she ever sees is photoshopping. And it looks so real, they don't realize anymore that that's not even real reality. Oh, I'm so fat, I'm so fat, I'm so fat. Guys, we don't have the trouble. We don't. We look in the mirror and we're like, you know, pretty fine specimen of manhood you got there. The wife is too sweet to walk up and just slap us in the face with cold reality. Amen. Might do us a little good, but it probably wouldn't be very good for the marriage, ladies. I don't recommend it. But you've been so told so much to focus on the outside all the time. And with that, hand in hand with that, is a lack of discretion. Because the better you feel about yourself, the more you want to show off. Amen. Become obsessed and focused on self all the time. Having all the beauty that the world can give and no discretion is like putting a jewel of gold in the nose of a pig, a swine's snout. What good does it do you if you don't have discretion? Gentlemen, a beautiful woman who doesn't have discretion can ruin your life. What you think is so wonderful, you will hate. Hate. But I've seen women that aren't necessarily setting records, you know, 1 to 10. You know, green eye and a blue eye. Can eat an apple through a chicken barbed wire fence, through a chicken wire fence, you know. You'll get that later. My dad always used to tease me like that. He said, I'd rather have one with a green eye and a blue eye and she could eat an apple through chicken wire than one that didn't love God. Now listen, all kidding aside, I got no idea, man. I'm sorry, folks. I think I need to start taking naps on Sunday afternoons, amen. But listen, discretion, genuinely discretion, as the years go by, reality catches up. You're going to get older. You're not always going to be youthful. It is so much more important to be a woman of discretion. I tell my daughters, and I mean this from my heart, because I'm always pushing them. I push probably maybe a little too much. I said, more important than you being good at sports, more important than you being able to, you know, beat the boys. Amen, that's important. Boy, that's important. More important than you being smart. More important than you being able to sing, being able to play, being able to do anything you do, is you learning to be a woman who's got a sweet spirit, a woman of discretion. Folks, that is so important. The word discretion is an important word to understand. It means discernment, good judgment, being careful about what you do and say so that people will not be embarrassed or offended. I remember when I was a kid listening to two of my relatives talk, and one of them I was quite a bit closer to than the other. And I remember sitting there and feeling an uncomfortableness with the conversation. I mean, I'm talking a little boy, probably elementary, maybe junior high, but probably elementary, upper elementary. Because the one relative had bought a nice newer house, and the other relative was living in a very small house in a not so great area. And I remember sitting there listening to the one relative brag to the other relative about their house. And it got really personal, and I knew it got personal even as a kid, because it wasn't just, hey, praise the Lord, this is so exciting, this is, and a friend rejoicing with a friend, amen? That's okay, right? All right, that's a little bit different than, well, you know, all those times you guys always invited us out to eat. You know, you guys get new cars, but we, you know, we didn't go on very many vacations. Ouch. Really? Ouch. Did you have to go there? That hurt. Well, you know, live your life, but make sure that you're not hurting other people. Knowing what to say, knowing how to say it is so important. Be careful about what you say, so you don't embarrass and hurt other people. Now listen, some people, they got a chip on their shoulder. And no matter what you do, it's going to be, well, that offended me. I am not talking about living a paranoid life, amen, to cater to that foolishness. Okay? It's like, you know, you're not supposed to do things that would offend a brother. Well, I'm very offended by you driving a red Flex. So you're not supposed to do it according to the word of God. No, I've run into that kind of foolishness. Okay, well, you know what? You're manipulating and twisting the scriptures from an evil spirit to get something done. I ain't talking about that stuff. I'm talking about that carnal, worldly, competitive, mean-spirited, jealous, envious spirit that all of us sinful human beings are prone to. It can hurt. Gentlemen, it doesn't just apply to women. I'm not, ladies, I forgot about you already. I forgot about the fair woman. I've been talking about discretion to everybody. And it's especially important nowadays. A lot of a generation of men being raised by mothers. And I, you know, I'm sorry for that. I'm not being mean about that. I'm sorry for that. Dads have gone AWOL. Family life's falling apart. But you got men nowadays with the exact same characteristics that women have. Let's move on because it's getting real quiet. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The desire of the righteous is only good. Psalms 37, verse 4, let's take a look at it. Here's a good test to see whether or not you're righteous. Psalms 37, verse 4. How do you know if you're righteous? That's a good question, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but when I'm brutally honest about myself, I see a bunch of stuff I sure wouldn't call righteousness. Would you? Psalms 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now there's the key, folks, to being righteous. It's delighting in the Lord, getting to know the Lord, loving the Lord. I was preaching about this morning, the truth in Christ, being obsessed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know why? I've tried to claim these verses, you know, out of context before. He said, you give him the desires of our heart. No, delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires. Why? Because when your heart truly delights in the Lord, your heart desires some things that the Lord would have it to desire. You see? So the heart gets right when it delights in the Lord, and the desires of the heart God gives because they're the right desires. You see how that fits our verse here in the book of Proverbs? The desire of the righteous, the desire. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. The desire of the righteous. Okay, how do I know I'm righteous? How do I know I got the right desires? Delighting in the Lord. You connecting the dots with me? Delighting in the Lord. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Wicked people are always living for something. They don't ever give to give, they give to get. Everything's an angle. Everything is a setup. You know? The salesman that gives you the creeps. How are you lovely folks doing today? I'm fine. You know, always an angle. What are they going to get from me? God says their expectation, what they're living for, what they're hoping for, what they're expecting, is wrath. That's what they're actually going to get. The wrath of God. You ever remember the backslidden days, the times when you're looking forward to things you ought not look forward to, and the big event comes and goes, and it's always a letdown? You're expecting in your head, you got one idea what it's going to be. It's Friday night, happy hour! Woo! Really? That was such a waste of my time. You ever hear somebody talk about somebody who's up in their 40s and 50s and they're still living like that? And they say they're stuck in their 20s. You'd think they'd have grown out of that by now. Why? Because eventually, if you got a brain in your head, you start to recognize it ain't all it's cracked up to be. The expectation is a letdown. And what you're really going to get, instead of the high time you thought you were going to get, is the wrath of God. So you really want to keep going there? Or how about delighting in the Lord? And having the desires in your heart actually change. You don't really want that anymore because you love Him and you've learned to delight in Him. And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, it doesn't have the same appeal because I've got myself addicted to something new. And His name is Jesus. And really, it's been so much more than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a drag and boring and, you know, restrictive and the bands and constraints of thou shalt not. And I've come to find it's perfect liberty, it's joy, it's rejoicing, it's love, it's direction, it's compass, it's a sure foundation, it's a clean conscience, it's no regrets. I really kind of like this life. It's all right with me. Why do we always tend to go the wrong way? Desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Verse 24, this is an interesting verse. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, something that doesn't really make sense. There is that scattereth. They're getting rid of it. Yet it seems to always increase. There is that withholdeth more than is appropriate, but it tendeth to poverty. Here's what he's saying. There are some people who give and give, and it increases. God always seems to put it back in their pocket. Jim used to say it this way. He'd say, you pull it out of this pocket and give it, and you put your hand in the other pocket to walk away, and you go, whoa, what's that? And so then you give it, and you put your hand back here, and you go, whoa, what's that? And you give it, and you find it, and you just find out that as you give, God keeps giving back. Brother Veach says this. He says he's always taught his church to give as God leads him to give, because God will give back to them when they give. But the point of God giving back is not so that you can get rich. It's not sow the seed of $100 and God will give you $1,000. The motive there is wrong. So he says, you give, God will give back to you, but the point of God giving back to you is you being able to give again. Really, it's the example that we've been trying to set in the church in our annual business meeting when we look at what the Lord did for us last year, what we did with it, and we say, look, here's how much we gave towards missions, here's how much we gave towards the gospel, here's how much we spent on tracks or radio broadcasts or whatever else we've done, here's how much we sent out, here's what the Lord sent in. So since the Lord sent in more, we scattered and yet increased. Look at all the money. Look at the love offerings we gave to the preachers. Praise the Lord, man. What a great love offering. I mean, the last love offering that we gave was unbelievable to me. Praise the Lord. I'm praying we do it again. Amen. And we get down to the end of the business meeting at the year. We go, man, we went way over budget. But look what God did. Amen. And we're way over where we thought we were going to be. So I guess we take the next step. God's increased us, so now we can do more for God. And guess what God has done every year so far? Increased us. It doesn't always make good business sense. I'm not saying be a business idiot. You don't want a pastor who's a business idiot, right? But you do want a pastor who goes, you know what, I know God, and if it doesn't make business sense, but God says to do it, he's got different math. His math is way beyond what we comprehend, so we're going to follow God. And it'll work out fine. Amen. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Have you ever seen cheap people? I mean, so tight, man, they have to screw their shoes on. You just can't get a penny out of them. You know, I mean, $1 million in the bank and they want to go to Coney Island. And they're worried. You're like sitting there like tense about what you're ordering because you're like, I'm not sure I'm supposed to order that. I'm going to wait and see if he gets an appetizer. And if he gets one, I'll get one. But if he doesn't, I won't. I really need that side salad, but that's another $2.29. I don't know if I should go there. And it tendeth to poverty. Haggai says this. He says that you put your wages in a bag with holes in it. You see, folks, the point being this, when it comes to our money, we need to be right with God. That's all, right with God. I'm not telling you to give 10% of your income. We haven't passed a plate, you know that. But when it comes to your money, you need to be right with God. He can take that, man, I had a good week at work. Where'd it all go? God's telling the nation of Israel, I'm judging you. And you're putting your wages in a bag with holes in it. By the time you walk from work to home, you've lost it all. And yet he says this, if you scatter that thing for the gospel's sake, I'll take care of you. My dad always said, you cannot outgive God. I still remember the conversation when he first introduced my allowance to me. My allowance, I think, was $1 a week. You kids do not want to hear the list of what I had to do to get my dollar. My dad, I'll tell you this story and we'll stop, okay? Because I have more, but we'll be here next week. All right, so my dad in Livonia, we lived in Livonia on a half acre of property. My dad had chickens, turkeys, a goose, rabbits, and a couple dogs. Now, when I said rabbits, I meant rabbits. We had a long line of cages, probably about as long as the banister down here. And now, that was my childish memory. They always look bigger when you're a kid, so don't hold me to this. I don't ever want my dad to be like, no, Mike, you're nuts. So I'll ask him for sure. But I remember multiple cages of rabbits, and he would breed those rabbits. Came time for them to be ready to be put in the freezer. He'd pet the back of the bunny, holding its head, its legs like that. He'd pet it so that you're straight up with a pipe, and pop that neck and let it bleed out. We'd gut them there and put them in the freezer. We ate them. We weren't being cruel. We were eating them. You go to the store and buy them. You don't think nothing of it. Hypocrite. Unless you're a vegan, then I'm sorry. But guess what happens in the wintertime when you give them water? All their water bowls freeze. So you know what my job was to do? Go out, get all the water bowls, melt them all in the sink, refill them every day and take the water out. That was a huge stinking job. That's a huge job. And I get a dollar at the end of the week. Making sure they're all fed, making sure their water's all up to date, and then anything else he had me do. And it's no arguing, no back talking, just do it. Yes, sir, go get it done. I worked a lot for my dollar. You know what my dad taught me? He said, now here's a dollar. 10% of a dollar is a dime. It's 10 cents. According to the Old Testament, we're to give a tithe. That's the least. If you want to give more, it's an offering. You can give over that. He said this, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. And I remember him kneeling down in front of me, and I could see it in my mind because he pretended like he was holding some kind of a pot or something. And he said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. So God will take that and he'll just pack it in there. He'll shake it so it all settles, shaken together, running over. Shall men give into your bosom? You reap what you sow. It just stuck in my head. God wants me to give. Can I tell you that from an early age, and I haven't always been good with it, so don't get it wrong, but from an early age, my parents taught me the joy of giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's a Christian thing. It would not hurt once in a while. Listen, I'm not making a plug here for the church. It would not hurt once in a while if you have the money at work to buy a lost person's lunch. Amen. It would not be a bad testimony if every once in a while when they're standing at the door jingling their thing wanting money for a Christian to drop a five in there. And then give them a gospel tract. It wouldn't hurt every once in a while if God's been good to you, to that waitress who wasn't, the service wasn't so great. Give her a 20 as a tip with a gospel tract. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. This is more important than money, because this will tell you how to get to heaven when you die. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So I just left you a gospel tract. This is the greatest thing anybody's ever done for you. You know what she's going to say? You're an idiot. Yeah. She's going to throw that tract in the garbage can before she looks at it. But you stick a 20 in there. You give her a 20-25% tip. God will take care of you. Follow God with your money. I learned the joy of giving. I had a little sister. She learned the joy of getting. She's not like that as an adult. We were kids, okay? I'm not cracking on her as an adult. I'm sure she's very generous. Yeah, we don't talk about personal finances like that, but I'm sure she is. But I was literally dying one day. I swallowed a full Necco. You know those Neccos? You guys remember those things? I swallowed that thing. I mean, literally, that thing was stuck in my throat. I could not breathe. My dad jerked me out of the back seat. He's doing the Heimlich. He pounded on my back. It finally moved, but my throat was hurting so bad. My dad ran into it. There was a shop right there. I think we were in Livonia somewhere. There was a shop, a bakery right there. My dad ran into the bakery and bought a loaf of bread to help me get it down and a cup of water once I was breathing, but I think it was still there. I was definitely breathing. So he brought me the water to drink and melt it a little bit and the bread to kind of swallow it down. And I'm sitting there, and I remember my throat was hurting so bad, I'm pinching the bread. And I'm drinking, I'm crying, you know, I'm a little kid. I'm sitting there, and my little sister looks over, and she goes, Mike, if you're not going to eat that, please don't smash it, because I want it. My parents went off on her. That's terrible! All you can think about is yourself. That's terrible! You know what? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Christians ought to know that. Can I say this? You're a giving church. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some who still need to get that kind of thing right. Maybe you can even use that at work. Be a blessing to somebody. We'll pick it up next week in verse number 25. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Proverbs. We thank you for the truths in them. Help us, Lord, as a church to be what you'd have us to be. Help us.